Hello everyone, I'm so excited and even a bit nervous because of the information we're going to put out here. I'm here today with Dean Henderson and Bibi Backhus. Hi everyone. Hello Dean, hi Bibi.
Hello.
very proud to have you on board. We're going to discuss mostly the crown and the way the crown controls everyone's life, I would say. Before we dive really deep into the rabbit hole, I want to start by reading a small paper by Colonel Edward Mandelhouse, which was not a real colonel, and he predicts the creation of the straw man in the United States. So after I'll read that, Bibi, I think you can take it from there to talk about the straw man and how it's being implemented in our life. So here you go. This is the first real evidence found that our current social, financial, and legal system was deliberately designed to enslave humanity. In a private meeting with Woodrow Wilson, the US president from 1913 to 1921, Colonel Edward Mandelhouse predicted the banksters' plans to enslave the American people. He stated, "Very soon, every American will be required to register the biological property, that's you and your children, in a national system designed to keep track of the people, and that will operate under the ancient system of pledging. By such methodology, we can compel people to submit to our agenda, which will affect our security as a chargeback for our fiat paper currency. Every American will be forced to register or suffer being able to work and earn a living. They will be our chattels, property, and we will hold the security interest over them forever by operation of the law merchant under the scheme of secured transactions. Americans, by unknowingly or unwittingly delivering the bills of lading, birth certificate, to us, will be rendered bankrupt and insolvent, secured by their pledges. They will be stripped of their rights and given a commercial value designed to make us a profit, and they will be none the wiser, for not one man in a million could ever figure our plans. And if by accident one or two should figure it out, we have in our arsenal plausible deniability. After all, this is the only logical way to fund government, by floating liens and debts to the registrants in the form of benefits and privileges. This will inevitably reap us huge profits beyond our wildest expectations and leave every American a contributor to this fraud, which we will call social insurance. Without realizing it, every American will unknowingly be our servant, however begrudgingly. The people will become helpless and without any hope for their redemption, and we will employ the high office, presidency, of our dummy corporation, USA, to foment this plot against America, Colonel Edward Mandelhouse." So, let's go back to the video and to you two. Bibi, tell us about the straw man. What is Colonel House talking about?
Okay, at birth, they made the straw man at birth from the time you were born. And to the straw man, they attach the national insurance number at birth. They tell you, oh, when you're 16, you'll be having a number, but no, it was attached at birth. Now, they made the laws into admiralty maritime jurisdiction. And the reason they did that is because of the birth. They started from the time you were in the mother and you were in water. Then you come out of her womb and you come through the birth canal and you dock. So it's just like shipping. The ship comes into the and berth and dock. So the doctor becomes the dock. Okay, so that's how that started. Then once you're out there, you're under that jurisdiction, you're under the water, the Admiralty Maritime. We're considered to be vessels, moving object. You come out, you got a birth certificate that you were told that you have to register your child's birth, but that's not true. The registration gives them access to the birth certificate to create the straw man. The straw man birth certificate and the one your mother has registered is completely different. A copy of the one that was made after the birth certificate was registered. And for them to do that, you have to register that birth certificate. If not, they're threatening you now that you can go to jail if you register your child's birth. Well, long ago, our great-great-grandparents used to put the names in Bibles. They never registered the birth. It was not necessary. Now, the one that they made, the straw man, has got a trust on it. It's called a CISTQV trust. Now, I have a copy of birth certificate with that trust on it. And under there, the queen signed off on it. So it can go into the trust. If it goes through the crown, because her name is on there, which I saw her signature.
This is your birth certificate?
No. Someone just sent it to me in the mail. And the queen, and it signed off, and it goes to the Philippines. It's got the Philippines president's signature next to hers.
So hang on. Let me get it straight. Let's say a baby is born through the birth canal to the doc.
Yes.
And he's then registered in capital letters, right?
Yes.
So yes. He's now the straw man has been created by...
Created, yes.
All right. Now, you're saying that on this straw man, on this certificate, someone, I guess the crown, is making millions, all right, of dollars, of euros, of whatever, or pounds, but making millions on this paper. Am I right?
Billions, not
billions. Billions, all right. Yes. Can you explain how this is being unfolded?
Okay. Your birth certificate, when it's registered, it goes to the Department of Commerce. And they take the birth certificate and take it to the bank and borrow against it and use that money to do whatever they want to do. Then they put it up in the stock market as well under the national insurance number.
But why? Okay, but I just stop you here, because why are they given this money?
Against the birth certificate, because they're guaranteeing that you will be there as their slave for the rest of your life, at least 50 years, or no, even beyond your grave, they still use that birth certificate. The number is used even after you die. If you close your bank account, that is still used under the straw man. The straw man is our problem. If we can restore a straw man to us, get it back from them, take it from them, then we're fine. And we can start accessing our own money.
And basically, can we do it?
Yes.
All right. Just to know.
You can access your own money. Okay, for instance, the money you spend all year, and I know your name is on the straw man at the bank, but the money you spend all year on your withdrawal column of your bank statement, from January 1st to December 31st, you can claim every single dime back from the IRS. I have.
And did you get it?
Yes.
Wow.
Because we don't know. What the bank does, they use you and they keep the money for 3 years. And then they report it to the IRS saying that it's abandoned funds. And they take it. The banks take it.
And can it be done in any country, regardless of the language?
Yes, of course. The IRS is worldwide. They're everywhere. They have accounts in every bank in the world. The Internal Revenue Service. They cannot tax your labor. They use your straw man and they send you the paperwork before. Now they tell you to do it online. But they cannot tax your labor because there's no law that says your labor should be taxed. So what they did is they made your home a resident. Uh-huh. And a resident is a place of business. So they can tax you.
So basically it's all about words and definition of words and tricking us into believing one definition and yes. at the same time they're using definition which actually comes from commercial definitions, right? Yes. I mean,
yes, we run the commerce. Every single thing in your life is now commerce. It's contract law under the Uniform Commercial Code. And that's what we're under. We're not under no law. We're under de facto government, the United States as well. The UK, capital letters, is a corporation. The United Kingdom is a country. High case and low case.
And how about US?
You mean my name?
No, oh. I mean America.
Oh, America, okay. In America, you have two forms of government. You have the United States of America, according to the Constitution, written in all lowercase. The U for United States is written in a lowercase U. Now, United States of America is a corporation. USA, US. So when you say you're going to United States, you're not. You're going to maybe the Republic of New York. You're going not to the state of New York, you're going to the Republic. The United States is located in the District of Columbia and it's in their UCC book.
So it's a corporation in the District of Columbia.
It's a corporation, yes. So when you're going to court, how could the if you live in Florida, Republic of Florida, how could you go to court against the United States of America? Because you're going under the state, you don't know. So people go in there under their flag laws. It's so corrupt, it's beyond mind-boggling.
Sorry. How long does it go for?
What do you mean, the straw man?
Yes, the hoax. How long have we been tricked into this system?
Hundreds of years, but recently, the past 100 years, it has come into our lives. It started to come gradually until 1954. It came on board here in America. You see, I don't call America America. I think it's British still.
Sure.
The Queen has five Commonwealth states there in America.
Which are?
Right. Sorry?
You said the Queen? Yes.
Yes. There's five Commonwealths. The Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia, Philadelphia, Boston, Massachusetts, Kentucky. There's another state that she owns. It's five of them.
No, you said five.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Sorry.
But she owns those. If America belongs to the Americans, why is she owning those states? Why?
I want to go back to the crown. You're talking about the Queen and what she owns. And let's go. I want to talk for a minute about the city of London. I mean, this is, and also in previous talks with Dean, we spoke about the city of London and how so many things are controlled, I mean globally, from this little square mile. Yes. And like in other places, I mean, the city of London is not a part of London. It's not a part of England, as far as I understand. Am I right?
Yes.
So how, I mean, if I try to combine what you come up with the talking about the legal system that controls our life, and Dean, you coming from the side of how the I would say the military industrial complex that runs all the corporations, all the manufacturing, all the media, all the whatever we can think of, right? Except us, I would say, although it's all connected. But how it's all combined, I mean, the legal system and the military industrial complex from the city of London, which as far as I know is also controlled by the Vatican or by the Jesuits. So if you can just clarify for me, Dean, I would.
Well, yeah, the city of London is the crown. It really represents the crown, and there's a reason they call Britain the United Kingdom, because see, maritime law, as BB has laid out, is the key to it all. And maritime law used to be really important back in the you know, the medieval days, because I mean, even having a navy, that's a relatively recent development. You know, the Knights Templar was your first navy. Mm-hmm. And they worked for the Vatican, and then they had a war with the Vatican, and then they got kicked out, and they went to Scotland, up to Venice, and then to Scotland, and set up Freemasonry. But they still had the Navy, and they went to the British Isles because it was an island, because it was separate from the mainland of Europe, and they could set up operations there and keep the hordes of humanity at bay, who they had enslaved for the past 8,000 years, from Sumeria to Egypt to Rome to Venice to, you know, medieval Europe, and now today with this chattel system that BB describes as a straw man. And I would just say that the city of London is a modernization of the feudal structure. So you can't go around beheading people anymore openly. You can't go to the peasants and say, you know, we're going to take half your crop and the church is going to take the other third and you'll get this much to eat for all your labor. You can't just do that openly anymore. So you have to design a legal system under British maritime law, law of the sea, that justifies your resource grab. And that's how it works. So we're basically being collateralized by the city of London. They get this money to work with. We're the collateral. Our labor is the collateral. So it's really no different than taking half our crop and giving a third to the church. I mean, it's just now it's just has this veneer of civility, let's say. So yeah, the city of London is the crown. It's where all of these bloodlines, as I understand them to be Nephilim bloodlines, not completely human, claiming to be royalty. Whether or not you believe that or not doesn't matter. That whatever it is, this, you know, they're bloodlines that go way back.
Even, let's say, even if they're just humans, they're still bloodlines, they're still royal families. Yes,
yeah, that's just what I believe and have come to, but it doesn't matter. Because regardless, these bloodlines who self-appointed as royals, nobles, nobility, black nobility, just, you know, became the kings and queens a long time ago in the Middle East, and then the pharaohs of Egypt, and then the nobility of Europe, and use the Templar Navy to loot the entire globe. All the indigenous people, all their resources were seized, taken to the Roman Empire to establish that initial burst of wealth. And then that wealth has moved from Venice to the Hanseatic League, to the Dutch East India Company in Holland, and then to the British East India Company, which was the first corporation. Corporations are also an invention of the crown. You know, some people get to the point where they actually realize that corporations run everything. But that's very simplistic, because you have to understand that corporations, the idea of a corporation is just the crown hiding behind business dealings, in the same way that a birth certificate is the crown's way of usurping our individual sovereignty. See, they get to be sovereigns. They're sovereigns. They love to say and tell us how they're sovereigns, and they have their own coat of arms, and they don't really have a country, you notice, these royals. They don't really have a country. They might live in Buckingham Palace in Britain, or they might live in the Habsburgs castles in Austria, or they might live in, you know, some castle, the Bourbons in Spain, you know, whatever. But they don't really have a country. They're sovereigns. And that's the way they've set this whole thing up. It's like a mercantilist model, where the only reason they set up nation states out of the feudal system that controlled Europe initially was basically to put those countries at war, to get them into debt from the war by funding both sides, both the winners and the losers, determining who would win and lose so they could, you know, plan their geopolitical scheme around that. And so they could set up, yes, this Internal Revenue Service. Now, if it's the United States getting the taxes from all hardworking Americans, why wouldn't they call it the United States something or other? The United States Revenue Service, the United States Treasury. The United, no, it's an internal revenue service. Internal, what, internal of what? What is this internal of? So anyway, it's very interesting that this, the BB says the IRS is everywhere, because it is, because all of the tax revenue, in other words, from all the nation states that they put together and allowed to come into being, all of that tax revenue is actually funneled, along with the innovation created by, you know, the inventors, the small business people in all of those countries, is funneled into the crown, is funneled into the City of London. And that's why you have this place where every single derivative is traded from, whether it's we're gonna you know, make odds on where the hurricane's gonna hit. Is it gonna hit Virginia? Is it gonna hit Florida? We make money on that. We make money shorting that. So where it doesn't hit, those people make money. And it's all just this gambling thing. But they can also determine outcomes. They can also influence the weather, because all these outcomes depend on weather manipulation. This is really their geopolitical hub, and this is why it's run by Freemasons, because this is where it all goes back to, law of the sea, the Luciferian model of inverting reality, creating this reality that's against natural law, which this Admiralty law, it's directly at odds with common law or natural law, which trumps it, by the way. And people have won court cases in America by knowing what BB knows and arguing that common law, biblical law, or natural law trumps commercial UCC code law or British Admiralty law, because we're human beings, actually, we're not commercial, and that has to be established. And, you know, so they've inverted that. And so all of this stuff is run from London. The banks vote, the biggest banks vote the most, you know, which is really not democracy, it's feudalism. I mean, if you look at the City of London, it's openly operated as a feudalist system. It's the only place on earth that's like that. Now, as far as Vatican control, I don't really believe that. I think the City of London is way above everything. Right. And I think they infiltrate the Vatican through their Knights of Malta. There's also the Committee of 300, the Council of 33, that answer to the bloodlines directly. These are bloodlines. There's a Priory of Zion. Zionism is not about Jews. Zionism is about the grafting of the human bloodline with the Nephilim bloodline. It's a movement to come out in the open eventually and show the world that, you know, how proud they are that they grafted onto the human blood and controlled it. It's like the whole history of humanity for 8,000 years, we've been herded like cattle. We were herded in the nation state pens for a while with presidents and governors and municipal mayors. They were the sheepdogs that kept us in line and did the bidding of the crown. And now we're being feeded into a one world system where they no longer need the revenue, I think, from the wars. They've got enough. How much money do you need to pilfer from all this fakery? So trillions of dollars. They don't really need the revenue from warfare. So now it's more just a ritual sacrifice situation for them to keep the bad energy flowing. So now they're just going to go one world government, Jerusalem as its capital, City of London as the economic base, Bank of International Settlements as the repository, as being the central bank for all central bankers, including the Federal Reserve, which the quote you read from Colonel Edward Mandelhaus, one of the architects of the Federal Reserve, working with the Rothschilds and the Warburgs, and Woodrow Wilson being their pawn in that scheme. Yeah. Same year, by the way, 1913, federal income tax in this country passed, 16th Amendment, never ratified by Congress, which offloaded the tax liability from the East India companies of the world, the Standard Oils of the world, the Rockefeller, Rothschild, Aldobrandini, Habsburg entities of the world up until that time, the United States had been funded by tariffs against those companies who were bringing their products to America to sell them to us. So then at that point, you take that tariff and all the tariffs went away and the income tax comes in, the middle class begins to be taxed. And that's the beginning of the collateralization of the individual. Then in 1933, FDR declares bankruptcy and calls in the gold, creates the Social Security system, which BB talks about as the national insurance system. This, you get your Social Security number, is assigned from birth. People don't realize, you know, it's not some free gift that FDR, the great liberal, gave us. I mean, he was a 33rd degree Mason. He was an elitist. He had to make an appearance of giving things away because there was a revolution going on in this country with the Wobblies and Eugene Debs and the socialists at that time being very, very strong and threatening the ruling class in a way that they've never been threatened since and probably never will be threatened again like that because of the concentration. So FDR calls in the gold, creates the Social Security system. People pay into that. It's not some gift that you get from the government. It's just you're paying into it, and the money that they're making on the interest on what you're paying in is a lot of how they make the money off of your birth certificate, which Bibi's talking about. So that scam furthered the control of the bankers, furthered the enrichment of the crown. Then come in the, you know, we get Reagan in the 80s. He goes privatization crazy with Thatcher. This, again, is another huge opening for the crown because the crown operates on a mercantilist privatization model where instead of having a government in this country of the people that's elected, small u, we now have a government that's controlled by contractors. So whether it's the military and Halliburton and Blackwater or whether it's the FCC with Serco, the Commerce Department, or whether it's Crown Castle contracting to put all these cell towers up, another crown agent corporation, or whatever it is, these contractors come in, and a lot of them are crown agents directly owned by the crown, and they can get their talons, again, further and further into the American democracy, small u, United States. Not to mention what Bibi talks about, the Commonwealth of Virginia, with D.C. being there already controlled by these people. So the privatization continues. Then Tony Blair and Bill Clinton come along. They destroy any semblance of revolutionary left potential by taking the Democrat and the Labor Party, making it triangulation Democrat, right wing, making it new labor, pushing it to the right. Tony Blair deregulates the city of London even more, lets them operate more independently. The offshore banking network flourishes because now corporations in America are allowed to take their money out of the United States in U.S. dollars. And it doesn't have to be for import or export of product. It can now just be an offshore bank account where they're hiding their money. That explodes into trillions of dollars in offshore assets, all controlled by the City of London Corporation, the one square mile, Bahamas, Cayman Islands, Bermuda, Panama, Jersey, Isle of Man, all of that controlled by the City of London, all the derivatives traded there, which is what's put the banking system on the precipice of a total collapse is the derivatives. And they have Bank of England controls these numbered accounts and these offshore havens through corporations which are owned by the crown. And you cannot find out ownership of these things anymore because everything's been deregulated. The federal communications, well, everything on down has been deregulated to where they have this Edgar system now. Used to be you could go to the FCC and find out who owned who and who the shareholders were. But I'll tell you who they are. State Street, First Boston, BlackRock, Blackstone, FMR Corporation, which is Fidelity, and Vanguard. And those five corporations, if you look at who owns every single Fortune 500 company, that's who owns them. Not Chase Manhattan, not Deutsche Bank, not Citigroup. These are just banks. These entities that I'm talking about are the crown holdings. And if you dig deep enough, you'll find out that the crown literally controls every corporation in the world. I mean, we are just scratching the surface. Yeah. We are just scratching the surface here. Yeah. So, yeah.
There's two things. One thing is that I understand that we, the people, we are the best product ever. I mean, it's not about oil, it's not about telecommunication. No. It's about us, and we are the product, and we don't even know that we are the product, right?
No, because you're the straw man, and we were not aware of the straw man.
Yes.
So if we as people in this world decided, no, enough is enough, we are going to take it back. It's ours. When Roosevelt did the New Deal, he made a remedy. But he never told the people.
The remedy was
you can file your papers and claim back that straw man. Mm. But we were never aware of the straw man. And he made the remedy so we couldn't go and charge them with treason. So the straw man was made quite a while ago, and we're starting now to know that we have it. Now, there's a remedy which I teach, which is filing your UCC-1 financing statement. Because we are under the UCC, we're not under any lawful law, we're under legal. We're under de facto governments and de facto courts, not de jure. So now we have color of law, color of everything. The Queen pays the Secretary of the Treasury in America. His paycheck comes from the Queen. Yeah. And they are in Puerto Rico, because the IRS is in Puerto Rico. Because when I was writing, when I was in Connecticut and was writing to the IRS, it had to go to Puerto Rico. And from Puerto Rico, the money goes to the Philippines and then to the UBS. Transferred. And the Queen signs. I know she signs on the birth certificate with the SysDQV trust on it. And at the top of the birth certificate is written there, SysDQV trust. And then she signs off on it. It says the Queen signed off on it. And then it goes to the Philippine president signs on it. So all the money, the Queen, the Crown is responsible for everything that happens to us. Now, all the money that they took from the straw man makes all these technologies. It all belongs to the people. Now, people is a corporation too. Individual is a corporation. See, this is how they make it. They make it, okay, you're an individual, so they can use you to do other things. They call you people. They call you human being. But according to the Ballantine's Dictionary, a human being is lower than an animal. So that's how they think about us. They're not discriminating rich or poor. They're doing it to everyone. And it's just, as Dean said, it's a certain amount of people that get together and form themselves different corporations or different entities, and they do it to us. So don't look at the local bank, because they are the ones who is helping, which is the employees there don't have a clue. Right? They don't have a clue what's going on.
You know,
but the straw man, if you take the straw man back and you demand, you tell them there's rules that you can, and paperwork you can file in the court, which I have done, to take my straw man back. So when I went in front of the judge and he asked me my name, I know what he had in front of him. All he had was the straw man on a piece of paper versus the United States of America versus my straw man. So then he asked me, oh, what is your name? I says, if you don't have it, I shouldn't be here. Right? Because he doesn't have it and I shouldn't be there. So what he did is he decided to, because I had sent him an agreement through the Uniform Commercial Code, a 9-page security agreement. And I put him down as the debtor and myself as the secured party creditor. So when he received it and signed for it, according to the laws of the Uniform Commercial Code, he's on the contract with me, whether he threw it in the bin or not. He is. He cannot deny it once he signs for it. So now when I went in front of him, he was trying to contract. Because if he cannot contract with me, he cannot make the money from the SysDQV trust. So I told him, if you don't have my name, I should not be here. So he signed a deportation paper saying that he deported me because I failed to acknowledge my name. Now, that's not the crime, is it? It is not. So the straw man is our problem. If we can control the straw man, if few million people started this to control the straw man, it is mine, it's not yours. You can copyright it. You can do a whole harmless indemnity agreement against it. You can do a rescinding of your signatures. All these forms I have prepared, and I'm handing it out to my students. Don't go into the court, because you're not going to win. you're not going to win. In America, they have flag, well, everywhere, here too. But they disregard the flag because there's no government. In America, you walk into a courtroom, each and every courtroom in America has a military flag. They're trying you under the military. And they're not telling you. When you raise your hand and you take an oath to the legion of the flag, you're committing fraud. Because that is not the Constitution flag. It is a military flag, you see. And all these things, as Dean says, they all come together and they want to rule. But we have to do something about it. The people.
Bibi, how much time it takes to reclaim your strawman back?
It doesn't take long. You send the paperwork out to the Secretary of State in America or to Washington, D.C., They file it and they send you back the number.
And then?
It takes a couple of weeks.
And then
you copyright your name and you let them know, because according to the Uniform Commercial Code, you let them know that they cannot use it for financial gain.
Because it's copyrighted.
Because it's copyrighted. It's now yours and you file the UCC-1 financing statement. And on that statement, it's all of your assets, land, and personal property. The straw man is the debtor, and you at the bottom is the secured party creditor.
Clever.
So you are the creditor, and you use your copyright sign against your name. And there's a way of signing that does not make you liable on the paper, which is anything you write, letters or anything to the court or anybody. You write by order of, and you put your name in capital letters with your sign, and then you put by, and then you put your name in high case and low case, authorized representative.
Mm. So you're using their own fake identity to give yourself permission to reclaim back your false or fake identity.
Yes, yes.
Right. Clever. I must say it's clever. And
that is their remedy.
Yes, 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 yes. It's good to know there's a way out of it. I mean, that's the...
There is a way out of it, yes.
All right. There's one question. I mean, we'll get back to it in a second. But there's one question I wanted to ask. You talking about the crown as being the British crown. And Dean is talking about the crown as being a collection of royal families from around the world. So
yes.
I wanted to know, for you, Bibi, is the crown also like a lot of royal families or just the British crown?
No, lots of royal families. They put them in places where they can control those countries.
So they're all in this together?
Yes, of course, they're blood families.
So, okay.
Spain, Italy, all these countries.
I give you an example. In Hebrew, all right, in Israel, for example, we don't have capital letters. How do I apply your system? Or never mind that. Who is the straw man? I mean, in English, it's very easy to get it because you have the capital letters. This is the straw man and your high case and low case letter. This is the real you. But in Hebrew...
Yes.
What can I do? Or even maybe in Arabic, or maybe in other languages or other countries, what can people do? Because there's like a missing link here for me, you know?
Okay. Well, do you have a national insurance number in your country?
Yes.
Okay, well then, you're under the straw man.
All right.
You're under the straw man and you don't know it.
Well, now I do. Now I know it.
You're not using it, but that number is under the straw man. They cannot just put the number on the stock market, or they cannot just go to the bank and borrow against the number. They have to have a name, and you have it. It's everywhere.
So my name plus the number, even if I don't have a capital letter name, but my name plus the number is the straw man?
No. The straw man is there, hidden behind your number, because your name is written in high case and low case. They cannot use that. That is not fiction. You see, they're corporations, and corporations have to interact with corporation. They cannot interact with real people.
Yes,
isn't
yes.
that so? Okay. So they have to make you into a corporation without you knowing. They cannot interact with you.
Right. You know, I'm listening to you and I'm listening to Dean, and I know Dean for some time now. And I'm thinking, you know, coming from Israel, speaking Hebrew, I was born as Jewish, so I was told. and I'm thinking, is it possible that it's true that all these royal families do come from some alien bloodline, and they use all this system to trick us human into properly and almost voluntarily being their slaves?
Not almost. We are their slaves. Now, I believe in the alien ancestry, because I feel that they came here and we were here, and they made us do all the hard work to mine their gold.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, we have a lot of gold belong to us too.
Yeah.
You're worth your weight in gold when you're born.
Yeah, I heard you saying this on another interview, and I was like, wow. And I told my wife is here, she's sitting next to me and listening to you, you know. And I told my wife about, you know, if I was weighing like 3 kg or pound or whatever, yeah. So that's my weight in gold. I have it somewhere
it
in
is.
A, right?
It
like
is.
Equivalent
whatever
to a
weigh,
bond.
Whatever you weigh. But they came here to mine gold. The alien.
So hang on, you, because you don't come from this world. I mean, I've listened to your life story, and you were a normal businessman running a family and a successful business,
yes.
until one day,
yes.
You know, the IRS came and a policeman saying you were laundering money of a drug dealer or whatever,
and
they put you in jail, and you were there in prison, which is also a profitable business, prison.
Oh, yes, big time.
Yeah, so we'll get to it in a minute. But they put you there, and you were a simple, normal woman running her life and business, and suddenly you found yourself in prison, and then you didn't know about, I guess, yes, I don't know, I'm asking, aliens coming to take gold and slaves working for them. Did you know something about? No. So you came to all this understanding and revelations through your research regarding the legal system, am I right?
Yes, yes, yes. I wanted to know how they did it, how they put me in prison for doing nothing. And it was just one IRS agent. It was not like the feds or that sort.
Yeah.
It was just him. And I couldn't understand, because when I went to court, I had 10 years of bank statements, and I was, every dime was accounted for.
Yeah.
And the person who I sold the property to, he got the $80,000 loan from the bank, and the bank testified, and he brought $5,000 of his own money. So what did I launder? Then I find out, after they found me guilty, I thought to myself, well, something is wrong here. It's not, something is not right. But at that time, I was terrified of court, because I was 54 years old and I've never been to court. I've never been to a police station before. Not even have a speeding ticket. I was being a good borrower and pay my taxes and all this. And I didn't do anything wrong. And I spent that time studying every single day. Every day. My husband is an angel, and my kids, they did all my work for me. Any research I want, my son would do it, and they typed all my papers up, so that 9-page security agreement I sent to the judge, oh, but I must tell you this if we have time, that was typed up by my family and sent it mailed to the judge for me, registered mail. Now, there's another judge that I sent one to, I gave one to, and I didn't give it. They wanted to take my DNA when I was leaving, and I refused to give it. And they said they will take it by force. So I got my husband to mail her from the medical department a 9-page security agreement. And when she saw it, that I typed her name up as the debtor, which is according to the UCC, it is legal. And she took it to the warden, and the warden called a judge in to give me another charge of fraudulently signing her name. So when the judge saw the 9-page security agreement, he asked me, what's this? He says. I says, it's exactly what it says. Do you understand English? He says, don't be arrogant. I says, no, I'm not. But if it was 7 years ago, I would have been shaken. But now I knew what they were doing. So then he told me he was going to take it and read over the 9-page agreement. And when he's going to come in another week, and if I have committed fraud, he's going to give me another charge. So I says, okay, I'll see you then. The following week he came back and he asked the warden to give me private, take me into a private room. He would like to speak to me privately. When I went in there, he said to me, I'm sorry, he says, but when I look at your documents, I don't understand anything in it. And I'm not going to tell you a lie. I have never seen this before. He says, where did you learn this stuff? I says, from the force. And my family helped me. So then he said, he took it to his superiors to look at it. And when they look at it, they says to tell me that I haven't done anything wrong and that I'm on the right path and I must carry on. And he shook my hand and gave me a letter.
Wow.
So that's what I'm saying. Once you know, they know when you know and when you don't know. And so, and we walked out together and everybody was surprised. They're thinking, well, why isn't she being locked up? But you see, what happens is with the security agreement to them, when you send it to them, you type their name up as debtor and underneath you put debtor in all block letters. And that is according to the Uniform Commercial Code. I studied that book for 7 years. I know everything belongs to us, the highway, everything. Everything belongs to the people, not this handful of people all over the world that's controlling us. They made religion to separate us so we can fight.
Yeah. Yeah, it belongs to us. And they know that we're the creditors.
Of course.
They actually know that. That's why when you list them as a debtor, they get real nervous. Mm-hmm. Because they are the debtors, because they have usurped all these resources from us. They owe us. Yes. They owe us the gold. They owe us all the money they've made off our identities, all the scams, all the government corruption, the IMF puppets they've installed in third world countries to
squeeze
all the resources out. Take that money from the elites back to the city of London, launder it through drug money, oil money, whatever. They owe us. We're the creditors. And this is why they're itching for either World War III right now, or they're itching for a 5G extermination of most of humanity, because we're the creditors.
Yes.
And they know that the gig's up, and they know that people are becoming aware. And they even talk about this in the document, Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars, which they wrote, which Bill Cooper found originally and was later killed because he knew about 9/11. We're the creditors. So they have to, every once in a while, it talks about in this document, Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars, how they have to kill the creditors every once in a while.
Because, for them to get away with it, yes.
Yeah, because then they can wipe the books clean and they don't owe us anymore.
That's right.
This is another reason why you see world wars and why you see mass genocide and why you see vaccination, fluoride, glyphosate, 5G extermination.
Everything,
This is why you see this, because they're killing the creditors and they know this. So I mean, there's a lot of ways you can get around the IRS. One way in America, look, I've paid taxes 1 year of my life and I was dumb and stupid teenager in 1984. Other than that, I'm a conscientious objector. I don't pay the war machine. Me and my wife, we make less than $20,000. If you make less than $20,000 federally in the U.S., you're exempt from income tax. The state I live in, if I'm exempt federally, I'm exempt from state. So I haven't paid any of this. I don't pay lizards. I don't pay lizards, bribe money, extortion money. I don't buy insurance for my house. I don't buy health insurance. I don't pay for protection rackets. This is all crown stuff, too. It's all just like a threat over you. Oh, you might get sick. Oh, your house might burn down. What if we set a fire to it?
Yeah.
No, I don't pay for any of the dark side to threaten me like that. But, you know, this all explains, like, they got to be not human. They got to be not, they're not right in the head, okay? So it's just something about them that, like, you know, today I'm hearing things about how they're putting nuclear waste into fracking wells in the UK. They're putting sewage into, you know, the San Andreas Fault in California right now, and they're going to use it for geothermal heat to get us off the grid. So they take all these people's power away in California. This is the beginning. They're going to try to take all of us off the grid, and then they're going to try to do some RF frequency crap from the sun with the Rothschilds control and switch us over to this massive, another massive kill program. That's why the satellites, it's not just for 5G. They're trying to retool the whole power grid to put that beyond our reach. It just, like, everything they do is like a satanic death cult where they just want to destroy the whole earth, not just humans, but the animals, the plants, the earth itself. I mean, putting nuclear waste into the core of the earth, you know, so they must have some idea that they can escape somewhere else when this all goes down or something. But these people just aren't right. So the best thing people can do in every way, the way that BB's talking about is excellent way, where you challenge the legality, but just in every way of your life, you just have to not comply with these people. No, yeah. Do not comply. Do not participate in their scams. That includes shopping. That includes all their scams, because if you're ever, you know, we are slaves, okay? We're born slaves. And the mission of everyone has to be to get free. And the only way you're going to get free, first of all, you wake up to the controllers and who they are, that it's a crown bloodline scenario. You look at Genghis Khan's bloodline, for example. It goes all the way down through the Shahs that control Iran, all the way down through the British Raj that control India, all the way down through the kings of Cambodia, the kings of Thailand. All of these things are connected. All of these, the Khan families is part of that. Yeah. You know, the present day Aga Khan Foundation, which funds all the Islamists, which do all the terrorism in the world. They're not Islamic. They're just fake. They're just British crown terrorists.
Yeah. What they do
wearing
is
burqas, wearing the Hajj to try to make you hate Muslims. Just like they use certain Jews as Hofjuden, as court Jews, like the Anti-Defamation League in this country, to make you hate Jews. But these are just shields for the crown. And they whack people down if they criticize, you know, Zionist or say, oh, the Mossad did that. And they whack people down if you say, oh, the Muslim Brotherhood did that. Because they don't want you getting any further. They don't want you get past these initial sheepdogs and into the big arena where the crown and the Rothschilds, and notice how they never take any criticism hardly from anybody. I do it all the time. Me and Shai talk about this all the time. BB talks about this. More people need to be talking about the crown. Because if we start talking about the crown and exposing them, the gig's up. I mean, the awareness is all it's going to take. There's no placards necessary. There's no marches necessary. No violence necessary. But people just have to stand up, get on their feet, have their dignity, say, look, this exists. I'm gonna acknowledge reality. I'm tired of living in a fucking dream world. I'm tired of living under the trance of these dark black magicians who got nothing. It's all fake. Ooh, they're witches. What does that even mean? It doesn't even exist. The devil doesn't even exist. They brought all this crap into the world.
Yeah. No. What they do is they create the problem and they find the solution.
There you go. Order out of chow. Order out of camp. The Masonic credo. And that's what they do with everything. And that's why they're doing the Trump impeachment. And that's why they're doing this Brexit thing. And the Queen's speech was yesterday. And that's why they're doing it on Halloween. Brexit's going to be on Halloween because to them it's some satanic holiday. Don't let your kids go out on Halloween this year. I'm sorry.
Everything have a purpose for them and a reason. Every number, every date, everything has reason.
And that's not human either. That's not human either. They're so mechanical and they're so, you know, so that's why I say, like, they are AI. Like, what we're seeing now with the AI.
Yes, I agree.
They're morphing into these machines that we're using. And they're trying to introduce as many people into their cult as they can. And basically where everybody loses their empathy, their heart chakras close down. Yeah. Your brain fills with needless facts that are disparate. Your brain is in need of defragmenting, you know, just like a computer would need to be defragmented. But everybody's brain is just like scattered and cluttered. And they're counting on that and they're counting on people becoming more like them, more mechanical, more ritualistic. This is why you're seeing the rise of witchcraft and Wiccan cults in this country all over. And people just are, you know, getting into the pagan stuff, which, hey, the pagans, the crown are pagans, okay? They might mask themselves in Christianity.
Yes.
Or they might mask themselves in Judaism or Islam, but they're pagans.
That's not true. Yeah,
they're pagans. Right. And this whole pagan, and Indians were not pagans. Native people were not pagans. This is another huge misconception. They're monotheistic. They believe in Wakantak, a great spirit, unexplainable. Yes. That's it. There might be other things involved with that, the helpers, but they're not gods. They're not a pantheistic religion. So this pagan stuff is key to everything, and to reject it and to stay. Look, man, you do the right thing, you get cookies. You do the wrong thing, you get a bad life. I mean, that's just action, reaction, karma. It's logic. Yeah. It's physics. And so people just have to trust that process of doing the right thing. And what these people are doing, they're coming along, they're saying, do the wrong thing, believe the wrong things, turn reality upside down, bow down to authority. You don't have no authority yourself. You have zero. Don't count on yourself. And it's all just lies. And increasingly every day it becomes more and more deception, more and more lies, more crazy out there. And now they're telling us to be cannibals. Now they're telling us we can't eat meat. We got to buy Impossible Whoppers or whatever. This stuff's sick. It's like Monsanto Petri dish GMO bacteria burger. I mean, I'll never go into that place.
I know.
And don't comply. So it's just getting crazy. So go ahead, Bibi.
Especially in America, what they do is they have so much deeds restriction. You cannot plant anything. You cannot have chickens. You can have nothing because you have to depend on the supermarket that they own.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why I do that. Missouri, where I live, there's no restrictions.
You have to depend on the food. Yep. If you don't do what they say, then you don't eat.
Yep, that's right.
That's what they do. You cannot have so much deeds restriction there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And here too, here in certain places, you cannot do all that in London, not London. We says we live in London, but it's not London. This is Kent.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so it's different places. Look at Michelle, how much money she's lost. Do you know Michelle Young?
Yep.
Okay. She has been bankrupt. And when she asked me to look at her papers 3 years ago, there is no creditor. Nobody she owed. She didn't have a list of who they paid. She doesn't know where the money went, £4 billion. And they told her that she's bankrupt, put her out of her home, took everything away from her without no explanation. Her late husband had £3 million in Coutts Bank that belonged to the Queen, the Coutts Bank. I wrote to the bank for her, and the bank said that it's client bank privilege, and they was well aware that her husband died. So when I wrote to the bank and they said that, so I wrote them back and asked them, shall we dig him up and ask his permission? Because how could it be client that they know he died? So that's their excuse for not telling her what they've done with her £3 million. And as of today, they have not shown her, the trustee has not shown her who the money, the £4 million billion was paid to. Not even a letter stating, well, this person was paid and that person, because there's no such thing as bankruptcy.
Right, right.
There was none. They tried to do that to me. Oh, by the way, when I was found guilty, I had over $1 million of real estate paid for. I used to sell an average of 25 houses a month. And I made a lot of money. They didn't like that. I think the banks didn't like that. That's why I end up in prison. And I found out later how they were doing stuff. So they tried. When I bought the first, I used to buy houses as well and flip when my kids finished university. And the first year I flipped 13 houses because I had the customers for the property as a realtor. And when I flipped those houses, I made quite a bit of money, right? But they weren't getting much because I had to clear all my expenses, okay? So they were after me because I was doing too much. I borrowed $10,000 from the bank, the first house I bought. And when I sold it, I paid them back. when I went into prison, they didn't take up, they didn't take anything from me. I had all my properties. I had money in the bank. I had mutual funds. Now, if you laundered money, they will take it. They will take everything from you. I had my bank account open, everything. Now, I had no restitution and no, probation. None whatsoever. Now, that's quite amazing, isn't it?
It says something about them.
It does. It does. It says that, well, hey, you didn't do anything, but we want you out of the way anyway.
Yeah.
You know, they hurt my family. I have two lovely kids and a very loving husband, and they hurt my family and myself. And I'm not going to let them. I filed a lawsuit against the United States in The Hague, the corporation.
Good.
Yes, and they wrote me back, the prosecutor, and he told me that it has to be under the Rome Statute for me to file it there. So I wrote him back and asked him, what has Rome got to do with this? Anyway, I asked him what the Rome Statute was, and I came under all three. Because this is crimes against humanity, human trafficking, and crimes under the military. So I told him, yes, I was tried under the military, and I'm a non-military member, and they're committing all this fraud.
Well, this is when they really go after you. You know, I often say, you know, like if you, you know, if you're researching this conspiracy stuff, and let's say you find out, oh, the CIA is running drugs. Well, they might tap your phone and they might tap your, you know, email conversations. Okay, then you find out the Mossad or the House of Saud, or they're involved somehow. Then it gets a little more serious because these are crown contractors. And, you know, again, you got the Hofjud and you got the Aga Khan Foundation protecting the crown. And they'll get more serious. So people that criticize, you know, Zionism or you know, policy or whatever, they'll, oh, you're an anti-Semite, you know. And then they'll maybe, you know, they'll sanction your accounts on the internet. They'll knock you off of Facebook. They'll censor you Twitter. But you start realizing and talking about the British MI6 and the British crown and the crown in general, the bloodlines. Then they'll try to kill you. Then they'll try to shut you down. There was a group called the Freemen in Montana that was all about what Bibi's talking about, claiming to be sovereign free men, claiming that, you know, the whole tax structure was controlled by the crown. They went after those people militarily in eastern Montana back, you might remember, in the 1990s, and just, you know, killed a bunch of them, decimated them. This is a lot of what Waco was about. This is a lot of what Ruby Ridge was about in Idaho with Randy Weaver.
Yes.
This is about the Montana Militia, Western Montana. I used to work with those guys. That's what they were about. If you start talking about the crown, and if you start realizing that this silent British Empire never died, and that it itself is just a continuation of the Sumerian Empire, the Egyptian Pharaoh Empire, the Holy Roman Empire, and now it's the City of London Crown Empire. It's the British Empire. It's never died. It's just gotten really quiet and contracted
on the ground,
and controls people this way. If you start talking this way, this is when they come for you. They've tried to kill me twice, unsuccessful both times. I'm not too worried about it at all. I have no fear of these people. But I'm just saying, this is kind of how it works. And there's just not enough people talking about this top tier, in my opinion, even in the conspiracy community. And that has to change if we're going to free ourselves from this stuff.
You know? But what I was saying is that with my, what I am teaching is for people to claim that straw man back. The more people, the better, because it can spread. Because if you know all about it, then you will know how to handle the court system, how to handle your letters, how to handle everything that comes your way, how to handle it. Now, it's very simple, some of the things, like the poor people here and some of my students, they have big water bills, big light bills. The only thing you're paying for is the meter. Electricity belongs to you. The water belongs to you. So the meter is theirs, and that's what you pay. So I tell them, here, get your own meter.
Yeah, there you go.
Put your own meter in. You don't have to pay anything.
But how can you do that? I mean, you're not allowed to replace the meter.
Who said so?
Good question.
Yeah, who said
Yeah,
that?
don't you have to sign when they bring the smart meters? Don't you have to sign
No,
something?
well, I told them I don't want smart meter.
Exactly, so don't sign it.
No, 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 but I mean the meter, say if you have a meter before the smart meter, for your water or your gas or your electric, there's companies now here in England that sells the meters.
Yeah.
And they come and they put it in for you. And then you write to the companies and says, I no longer require your services. Very simple letter.
You stop the contract, basically.
That's right. I no longer require your services. You don't have to tell them anything else.
Yeah.
Because it belongs to us. When you get a parking ticket, who did you hurt when you get it? Nobody. Who are you paying this money to? There you go. The road belongs to you. Who gave them the authority to put parking meters?
Right.
You understand?
Yes.
Yes.
The highway is yours.
Listen, I'm very happy I put both of you on the same screen. You know, for me, for me, it's excellent. I guess also for the viewers, I hope so. I must say also, Bibi, that, you know, I've watched a couple of interviews with you and you spoke only about the legal stuff. And putting you together with Dean, speaking about all the back doors, speaking about what's running this reality, and I'm surprised that you went that deep into the rabbit hole, and I'm very pleased that you've done so, because you know, and you know, that once one is going that deep, it broadens his point of view on life in general. So you can go into legal stuff and be really good at it, but if you don't know the context in which this legal system was created, or if you go into the military industrial complex and you don't know the context in which this complex was created, you miss the point. And I think both of you are actually nailing it down beautifully. Each one of you is doing it from his own angle, which is crucial and very important for everyone who is alive right now, and obviously for future generations.
Yes.
And
for the people who supports them, who makes the money, the creditors. When I write letters, I always put myself down as a creditor and them as debtor. Always.
But how you do it? I mean, it's something that you choose to do? I mean, how you do it?
No, it's what we're supposed to do. Because when you're writing a letter, they put themselves down on the right-hand side of the letter most times.
Right.
But I put myself on the right-hand side of the letter, my name, high case and low case, with my copyright sign, and then I put creditor. And on the left-hand side, I call them the debtor.
So you just decide to write it in that way.
That, yes.
Which makes
that
a statement.
It's supposed to be written.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
It is supposed to be written. Lots of lawyers are saying when they get letters from some of my students, I do not understand what this is saying. But I must tell you, when I came here from America, I applied for my social security and they gave me the first year. Then they wrote to me and says, how would you like the second year? Would you like it weekly or in a lump sum? I said in a lump sum. They wrote me back and told me that we cannot give you any money. They already gave me the first year because we made a contract with the United States that if you're over there, you cannot have the pension. So I wrote them back. And I told them, I did not give you permission to use my money to give it to the United States on a contract without my authorization. And I never lived in the United States. I lived in the Republic of Florida. So it was like a two-page letter. I sent it back to them. And I says, I demand that you send me the money that is mine. They sent me a letter, said they do not understand what I'm saying. And then they're sending it to the U.S. Embassy in London in to look at my letters. And then, like 7 days later, someone dropped an envelope in my mailbox around 7 at night, just with my name on it. And when I picked, I thought, it must be junk mail. So I picked it up, opened it, and there was my check.
Wow.
I didn't hear back from them at all.
Wow. Just under the radar, not on an official paper,
no,
nothing.
No, nothing, nothing. Just a check in the envelope. From the, from my pension.
Cheeky.
So they took it. Yeah, they took it to the U.S. Embassy, and they must have said, just give her money and get rid of her.
Listen, let's take it one step further. I want you to tell people, Bibi, about how whatever they buy, whether it's a house with a mortgage, or whether they take a loan to buy a yacht or a car or whatever, it's really not theirs.
No, of course. Over here, and I think in America too, it says you're a registered keeper. You're not the owner. I wrote to the Department of Motor Vehicle, the DVLA, and I asked them, who's the owner of my car? They said they couldn't tell me at this time.
So hang on, a question. If someone just, this is especially for, look, in Israel, there's roughly 8 million people. I don't know how many adults who took mortgages, but I do know that people nowadays, they need to pay about 30 years of their life,
yes,
each month, about, yes? Each month to pay a mortgage to the bank, and then they know that the house is theirs. Is it really,
yes,
theirs? After finishing paying the mortgage?
No, it's not. You're just a mere user, because you have to pay taxes every year on the property. You do not own the land. You only own the brick that's sitting on it. The land is owned by the Crown Corporation. So what you do is, to own the land, you have to get an allodial title.
Hmm.
I teach that to my class.
Yeah.
And it has a formula how to get your title. And you registered it, and you put it in the courthouse, and you put it in the newspapers, and the land is yours.
And it costs you money, the land, or you just...
No, it doesn't cost you anything to do it. No, it's just the formula how to do it.
And then you own the house and the land.
And the land, yes. It's called a allodial title. I know the Jews do it.
No, I don't know. I don't know about it. I've seen on your video that you speak about it, but hang on. So if someone just got a house and finished paying his mortgage, and in his mortgage he paid for the house, that's what he thought, right? He paid for the house and the land. Actually, he paid only for the house because he cannot own the land, right?
No. But I had this one of my students, the council here has been telling them they have to pay the taxes because They don't own the land. She owns the house, but she don't own the land. So I wrote and told them to come and take their land and leave her house. I told them, come and take your land then, if you want it.
Are you a lawyer now, Bibi?
No. I don't want to be a lawyer. They tell lies.
Yes.
British Accredited Regency.
They are.
The Bar
Association. Yes. Yes, that's right. I have my book will be coming out soon, and I'll be sending you guys a copy each.
Excellent. Listen, guys, do you have something for closure? I mean, we can go on like this forever, more or less, but maybe we should do another talk in the future. But I just want a few words from you, like to wrap it up, you know?
Yeah. Interdisciplinary education. So it's good. So thanks for having me, Shai. And Bibi, I learned a lot from what you had to say.
And me too,
I think it's great to hear your legal background of the legal corruption and, you know, trying to combine it with the economic corruption that I am aware of. And like I say, interdisciplinary education. I hope that this is how we mesh reality. We stitch reality back together. The same reality that they have fragmented apart through their royal society to try to confuse us and keep us off balance. Because reality is a whole, and it's pretty simple. And, you know, so again, thanks for having me. And, yeah, let's do it again sometime.
Yeah,
soon, Shaq.
Yeah.
Okay, Dean. Thank you. Nice meeting you.
Okay.
And you too.
Yes, thank you. And, Dean, it's always a pleasure to have you on board, obviously. And, Bibi, that's the first one, and I hope it's not the last one. And I want to thank you both because, as I said before, you both of you are spot on, and no wonder why this happens, this conversation. And yeah. I want to take this opportunity. First of all, please send me links to your website or to your book or to your presentation or what you have, Bibi. I mean, I have Dean's, but if you can send me links so I can put them on the YouTube. And also, I want to take this opportunity just to tell the audience that on one side, we live in a mad, really bizarre time. And at the same time, there's many opportunities now to grow. There's many opportunities now to break free from the real prison, you know, the consciousness and the law and all these systems they built for us to think that we are free, and we are actually just enslaving ourselves and our children. So
yes.
I just want to take this opportunity to ask the audience to jump in the water. Don't think too much. Do.
Yes.
Listen, there's like experts, and Bibi and Dean are not the only ones speaking about these subjects and the pyramid of control or whatever you name it, the New World Order, it doesn't matter now how we call it. But obviously, you're not the only ones to do that. And I'm asking the millions and billions of people around the world, it's time to do, not to speak, not to learn about, although it's necessary, obviously it's necessary.
It's time to wake up.
Yes, it's time to wake up and do. And follow other footsteps of people like you, you know, who show the path, who has done the research, whether voluntarily or whether, like happened to you, Bibi, you didn't plan it, but see where you are now. I mean, you are in a full wakeful state, and I think it's beautiful to see and to learn from you. So I think people should just follow what you're saying, follow what you have to give, as well as obviously Dean's books, which he explores a lot of the stuff that has been going on in this world for many, many years. And I just want to encourage people and to empower people to do for their own good. And dump all these mobile technologies because it ruins our life, really.
It messes your brain up.
Really,
it
really
does.
It's one
really
of the worst
time.
Things. One of the worst things to have.
Yes, I think so. And I think people are waking up.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave you guys with this. I think people are waking up. I think the earth is spinning faster and we are waking up.
Okay.
Amen to that.
The energy is coming to us, and we will wake up and we will win.
Amen to that. Thank you very much. God bless. The real
Thank
God.
You. Good night.
Guys, take
Good
care.
Night, guys.
Cheers. Bye bye.
<Good night.
laughs> Bye. Take care. Bye.
Shalom.
Shalom.